Joined right now in the studio by Carbon County Sheriff Jeff Wood. We have a large variety of items to talk about, including the Demolition Derby. So, Sheriff, I do appreciate you taking out the time to join us today. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. I always enjoy these opportunities to address the public. And, you know, this is a good media to do so.
Definitely. I appreciate you coming in and the kind words. And you and I talk a lot of sports off of the air, but we really never get to talk about sports on the air, and that's what we get to focus on today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Demolition Derby. I think it hits this demographic absolutely perfectly. And last year, you really wanted to push some change with the Derby. And you guys did that. It was successful, and now you're looking to build off that success.
Yeah, we had a great year last year, and we want to try to make it even better this year. So we did a few things differently than it's been done in the past, and we had a lot of cars come out. We changed our classes a little bit. We made it more affordable to get into the Derby with the Chain and Bang class, and anyone can build a car for that. And then we also changed the way that we do things as far as the show ran, and we were able to get cars in and out of the arena efficiently, and it wasn't a long, drawn-out show with a lot of dead time. And so we want to build off of that this year. We had 37 cars last year. We're hoping to have 50. So we created a couple more classes. We have the 80s Chain and Bang class that brought us success last year. We like that. We have the Minis class. We had quite a few of those last year as well. We have a truck class that's always a blast to watch. They're out of control, the trucks.
Yeah, they are.
We have a minivan class that allows mini trucks in that one. That's new this year. And a class that's called the Misfit class. So the Misfit class is the one I'm mostly excited about because it's cars that don't fit any other class. So they may be a little older than an 80s car, or it may have been a car that was ran in another Derby and had to have some work done to it to plate it back together. Cars that we would have turned away last year, we won't be turning away this year because of this Misfit class. So I'm really excited, and I think that's going to be an awesome show.
Now, I've had the pleasure of working at the Derby and helping out the search and rescue in the past, and to see the amount of work that goes into this event, there's so much that happens behind the scenes.
You know, the Derby ends, we do it in August, and it's over. We start planning it again the next October. So it's almost a year-long process to have it ready to go.
And it's the biggest and really the main fundraiser for the Carbon County Search and Rescue.
It is. It's how they earn their money. And you know, they do a couple little things. You'll see them at community events. We're going to have a booth at International Days this year, and they'll be selling scones. They'll be selling raffle tickets for their cars. They have two cars that they have built that they offer an opportunity to win a chance to drive those cars. So anyone can participate that way as well.
I think when we talk about the Derby, it's always important to mention just how important the Carbon County Search and Rescue really is. With you being the Carbon County Sheriff, I mean, and you know what these guys do, they're an extremely vital part to this community.
You know they are. They're a totally volunteer group. They don't get paid for what they do. The money that they generate goes to their equipment and their training. They're highly trained. They can do high angle rescue. They can do swift water rescue. They're experts with four wheel drives, snowmobiles, ATVs, UTVs. If you're stuck or stranded or hurt somewhere, they definitely can come and get you, and they love to do it.
So when you guys sat down and you tried to rework the Derby last year, because if I remember two shows ago, there were some problems, and word of mouth in a small town definitely travels. When you guys sat down and you tried to fix the Derby, what were the main points of emphasis for you guys?
You know, we recognized that we needed to have more cars show up to the show. The 2 years ago, we didn't have very many cars, and we realized that people couldn't build cars to the level of our rules. We had rules that were under the Stir and Dirt rules, which are great, great cars, great rules, but they're quite expensive to build a car like that. So we went back to the old school Derbies that were cheaper, easier to build. And then we also realized that people didn't want to sit there and watch a lot of downtime. We try to do fun little things in between heats and stuff, and that's just part of the Derby business. But we recognized a way that we could get the cars out of the arena while we get the other cars in the arena and keep the show rolling, basically. And that's a couple of the things that we did. And you know, and then we really advertised a lot last year, and we did radio and everything we could to get the word out there that we were changing things. We liked to have a few cars around town so people knew that there would be lots of cars there. And those are some of the little things that we did that helped us a lot last year. And then good food. We bring good food to the
Derby. Food's important.
Yeah. That seems to keep people happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. Again, our guest right now is Carbon County Sheriff Jeff Wood as we talk about the Demolition Derby. So with that being said, you can register right now.
You can register at Tire King. Tire King has the board. It's $25 to enter a car in until the end of June. After that, it'll be $50 right up until the day of the show. And then they'll have the list, and they can tell you what category your car fits in. And looking forward to seeing everyone out there. It's a great time. Carbon County is a great place.
And you guys have definitely made it easy for those who maybe are unfamiliar with the rules. You guys can email rules. I mean, all you got to do is contact Tire King, contact somebody with the search and rescue, contact Sheriff's Office. You guys will make sure you get them a set of rules.
Yep. The rules are easily found. They're also on the search and rescue Facebook page. You can see the rules there.
Now, I've never participated in a derby. I've never prepared a derby car. You have, and you're going to be participating in it once again. How much work goes into it? I mean, how long do you work on your car?
You know, I really, really had about maybe two weekends and a few extra days into my car last year. This year, I'm going to try to do two cars, and I'm expecting to have probably about four weekends of time in. And you know, it's a good time. I get my dad, I get my sons-in-laws, my friends. We all come around and strip the cars down and build them, and we have fun, and it's actually kind of a good time to even build a car.
Yeah, definitely. And again, that's the Carbon County Search and Rescue's Demolition Derby going down August 12th. Again, 50 cars is the goal. That's definitely very reachable.
I think so. I think it's very doable. There are 14 as of right now that are registered.
And so just head on down to Tire King again, $25 until the end of June. Make sure you get into the Demolition Derby. And one more time before we move on from this particular topic, give me the classes. We've got five classes this year.
So there are five classes. There's the 80s and newer chain and bang class, which is an easy car to build. There's the mini class, which is mini cars, you know, your little Ford Escorts, things like that. You have the truck class, which is the wildest class there is. I mean, they're full-size trucks, and they're built to last. They're tough. We have the minivan, mini truck class, which is a combination of minivans and mini trucks, which are just hilarious. If you get a minute, YouTube that. It's funny to watch the minivans in the derbies. Looks like soccer practice just got out generally. And then there's the misfit class. So anything that doesn't fit in any of those classes will most likely fit in the misfit class. I think there are some rules there, but so that'll just be the cars that don't fit anywhere else.
Now, you made it to the wipeout round last year, right?
I did for about 2 seconds.
How'd you feel the next morning?
You know, it's amazing how hard those cars really hit. You think they're not hitting very hard until you're in one. Mm-hmm. My first hit, I was surprised, and yeah, you're a little sore the next day.
Let's move on and talk a little bit about some of the other topics here throughout the county. First off, roads are being chipped, and this is kind of important. I mean, you can do some heavy damage to your car if you're not careful.
Yeah, you know, in the Westwood Fairgrounds Road area right now, and in other areas in the county, I'm sure they'll get to it as the summer comes, they're chipping the roads, and the road shop would ask that we move our cars off the street. Don't park anything on the street in those areas. Get your garbage cans off the street so they have a clear path to chip. And then if you're the motoring public, you know, leave a little early for a few days. It'll take a few days for those to settle in, and you need to drive slow, 25 miles an hour, or you've run the risk of throwing rocks and breaking somebody's windshield.
And I definitely want to end with this topic. The needle exchange program is something that I know that you've been pretty passionate about. And you and I were talking a bit off of the cuff about how your thoughts on this have actually worked its way all the way up to the Capitol. And it's a very interesting topic here for this area. And again, it's something that you're very passionate about. And I know that there are sheriffs throughout the state that are very passionate about it as well.
You know, the needle exchange, I understand the science behind that. And it's in the name of harms prevention. And they're trying to prevent the spread of diseases like hepatitis C and HIV, and that's the purpose for having a needle exchange. The problems that I see with it, and especially the way this coalition that wants to come here and run their needle exchange goes, I don't see the use in having the works that comes with it, which is the tourniquet, the cooker, everything you need, the cotton balls to use for a filter, everything you need to shoot illegal drugs comes in this kit, and I don't believe that's in the spirit of the exchange. And they also want to it's not a needle for needle exchange, and I've done some research on it, and I just want to say I don't think it's a good idea anyway, but there is some science behind it, and the research shows the best practice is a needle for needle exchange. So if you bring in one, you get one back. The way these folks want to do this one is they want to give out a pack of needles for, you don't even have to really give them any. They said one or less, but 30 needles come in a pack. So I don't want to see that because I think it'll compound a problem that we have right now with needles being thrown on the side of roadsides and in parks where kids play and things like that. I think if they're going to do a needle exchange, a needle for needle would seem to be best, and that way you're not throwing them away. You're exchanging them so they can be properly disposed of, and I think that's the best thing. And the other issue that I have is best practice shows if they're going to do needle exchanges that they make them readily available. This company wants to come down twice a month, and I just don't see any benefit to that at all. And you know, the drug addicted lifestyle is an expensive lifestyle no matter how you look at it. And the harms prevention group will tell you, well, it's expensive to combat HIV and hepatitis C, but it's expensive to use heroin, period. I saw a thing on Channel 4 News. A lady said her habit was $200 a day. If you do the math on that, that's $73,000-ish a year. And that's not money out of her pocket. That's money out of her neighbors and anyone else that she's stolen things from, or it's through criminal enterprise that they are able to fund their habit. So that's expensive as well, and that falls back on nameless victims who have no stake in the game at all. So that's my whole issue with encouraging this type of behavior. We've had some really good luck, Jordan, with a drug called naltrexone. Naltrexone is a pill that a person can take every day. It costs about a dollar a day to do it. And we've done an experiment in our jail with drug court participants. Out of 19 drug court participants that have been on this since last August, 18 of them are still clean and sober. One of them has failed. That one just refused to take the pill. But it's an opiate blocker that keeps them from having any effects from opiates. So they don't use at all. And they pay for their own pill every day. And it seems to be working better than letting them use unlimited amounts of illegal drugs and expecting them to make good decisions.
I know that this is a topic that will be reevaluated in October-ish, right?
It is. The legislators will reevaluate it in October. I've spoken with the senator that actually got the bill passed and given him my opinions, and he's actually rethinking some of his ideas with this. I think there needs to be some checks and balances to it. If they're going to have it, there needs to be some way that it can be checked on and through a nonprofit organization that nobody knows anything about. You can't do that. If you had the health department or mental health or the Division of Human Services, some government-run entity, at least there are checks and balances in place that would be able to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and then we'd have true data to see if it really works. So I know he's looking at that as one of his options. I've spoken with the lieutenant governor, who is against it as well, and I'm trying to get with the governor himself. So we'll see how it goes.
Love the conversation. Carbon County Sheriff Jeff Wood, I really appreciate you taking out the time to come in today. Always fun to talk to you.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
For more information on this Castle Country Focus interview and others, make sure you visit castlecountryradio.com.